This is you.
K-U-T.
K-U-T, Austin.
Stop. I used to get mad at my school. Teachers had taught me when cool. Holding me down, turning me around, filling me up with your room. I have to admit, it's getting better. A little better all the time. Hello, and welcome to Higher Ed, KUT's podcast focusing on issues of higher education, lifelong learning, and exercising the brain. I'm Jennifer Staten with KUT 90.5, Austin's NPR station, talking as always with Dr. Ed Berger, president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. Hello, Ed.
Hello, Jennifer, and welcome back to Southwestern University.
Well, I am always happy to be here. I just love being in the learning environment. There's so much going on, so much creativity and scholarship, and it kind of wears me out, but it's fun.
It wears me out too, actually, if you want to know the truth. But I love it. I love it.
So I come to you today with another comment, input from a listener to our podcast.
Do you have to clean up the bad language?
No.
Oh, it's positive.
It was positive.
Well,
it was
actually
an idea for a discussion topic.
All right. Very
good. By the way, if you have a topic you would like us to discuss on a future episode, you can just email it to me, jstaten@kut.org. That's letter J, S-T, A-Y-T-O-N at KUT.org, and we'll consider that for a future episode.
Do we do anything for the people if we actually use their idea? Like, do they get a royalty, or do they get a t-shirt or a mug or a savings bond?
No.
Oh.
Not unless you do something for them.
I don't know who these people are, so they're writing to you, so you better find the savings bonds and give it to them.
I write them a very nice reply and thank them.
Well, they get and then they get the joy of hearing us talk about them.
Absolutely. And that is priceless.
Everyone loves being talked about.
In this good way, they do, in this good way. So our listener, I may be mispronouncing her name because we have communicated by email. Nada or Nada is her name, and she wrote in and said that she works for a university in the area that sometimes will have practitioners come in to teach a class. So not academics, but folks who are working in business and industry to sort of teach real world classes. They also have some partnerships with some companies so that students can go get a sense of what the working world is like, what careers in that field may be like, and also expectations of students after graduation. And what our listener has said is that she notices more businesses and companies coming to them and saying, you know, we really need more of a relationship with you because we're finding students are not coming to us prepared for careers and not prepared for the workplace in general. And she says that that has caused them back at her home university to have to think about that relationship between higher education and sort of business and industry, and I'm going to say kind of real world in quotes. There's definitely a tension there, and I'm curious for your thoughts about that tension.
Well, first of all, whenever you can get different perspectives, different voices, a kind of a diversity of backgrounds together and talking, only good comes of it. So the idea of kind of cloistering away the academy and being completely disconnected to the rest of the world is not particularly effective, in my opinion. Those interactions, especially the more thoughtful and creative ones between what happens outside the formal academy and what happens inside, that kind of synergy can be very powerful. So in my class, Effective Thinking Through Creative Puzzle Solving, on Friday afternoons, I host what's called the President's Thinking Symposium, and I'm bringing people in from the outside. And these aren't teachers or educators per se. They might be involved in education, but these are traditionally leaders or individuals who are doing really interesting and important work in their lives or in their communities. And they come and talk about their puzzles in their lives and how they wrap their minds around it. And I think the students really find those conversations very powerful. And the students are asking questions. That's all the students do, is kind of ask these people questions. There are other ways to get that synergy to happen beyond bringing in guest speakers or having a kind of a professional teach a class who's maybe not in education per se, through internships and just through experiential learning. It's a very powerful, powerful way to gain exposure into worlds that a student might not otherwise see. And I'd say this is reasonably new, not brand spanking new, but in our time, I think there was less of that.
Much less.
Yes, than there is now. Now it's one of the commitments that we're making at Southwestern is that every student has the opportunity to have a high impact learning experience outside the classroom, which could be an internship, a research experience, you know, going to a conference to give a presentation on something that they've worked on, just that kind of engagement. And so that synergy is very, very powerful. Listening to what people, practitioners in industry or in different fields, what they're looking for, I think is important for us to hear. I think we as educators are the professionals and need to kind of absorb that and respond to it as we see appropriate. But through career services and through that kind of learning opportunities in student life, there really are these powerful engagements to be mentors to students and to basically be teachers.
We talked about assumptions in a previous episode not too long ago, and I kind of made an assumption when I introduced Neda's topic, which is that I said, Ed, there's a tension there. And maybe there's not a tension between, I'm going to say, sort of academia, classroom learning, and real world business practitioner learning. Tell me about my assumption, right,
well,
wrong?
Yeah, both, right and wrong. I mean, so first of all, I try not to have tension with anything and anyone.
Well, we did talk about stress before.
Exactly,
too.
Right. So I am open, and I'm in the lotus position and ready to receive.
He's really not.
Love. But I think there are people that will see a tension between what happens at the academy and what happens beyond the academy, and they have the right to feel that tension. I think there's a lot of stress. We talked about this some episodes back about the students making that transition and how difficult and challenging that really can be. And so trying to give students through, in the case of Southwestern, through the residential experience as well as the intellectual classroom experience, the kind of the tools to live a rich life in the 21st century and to be a citizen of the world. But that tension is completely superfluous. When people come together and communicate, we can actually move forward in really meaningful ways. And we as individuals in higher education should be practicing what we preach, which is that we always want to strive to be better. And so we should be open and not biased to concepts and ideas and suggestions from individuals who are not necessarily spending their whole lives in the academy. And we need to listen to them in an open-minded way and then respond as appropriately as we feel we should. And I think that there's no tension at all. I've learned a lot from individuals. In fact, I would argue that this course that I developed really comes from that synergy between, you know, beyond one's formal education and within one's formal education.
Well, I'm going to lay out what I think are the biases that may pop up.
Please.
This is just generic. Yep. I'm not speaking as a particular person, but I can imagine a professor or teacher saying, people in the real world, in quotes, they're business people, industry people, and they don't know how to teach. And I can imagine someone in business or industry saying, those faculty members, they're in academia in their ivory towers. They don't know what it's like in the real world, you know, nuts and bolts, nose to the grindstone. How could they possibly know what it's like to really work? I'm kind of guessing that those are the two, I'm going to call them barriers that come up to having that kind of interaction relationship that you're describing, where everybody learns and does better.
And you will find examples of both of those sides of the coin in higher education. And that's reality. So that's exactly right. The question is, how do we overcome bias, which is another topic we recently talked about, to say, okay, I'm not going to be offended that this entrepreneurial person is telling me that what I'm teaching in my class is nonsense or is not appropriate or not helpful to the type of people he wants to or she wants to hire. And instead, listen to her and say, what does she want in her team of thoughtful employees, thoughtful colleagues? And is there space in my class or in a curriculum or in a program that would amplify those elements that we also consider and understand are important? Usually it's about open-minded thinking. It's usually about communication. It's usually about ability to write. It's usually a dedication, a commitment to do your best work. Well, who would be against those things? But it's holistic. You can't just say it's going to happen in this political science class or in this religion class or in this biology class or this anthropology class and be done with it. The power of a residential institution like Southwestern is that the engagement and the thinking and the interaction and the intellectual development should be happening all the time, everywhere, even colleague to colleague, student to student.
So I think we need the power of academia and industry to solve this puzzler.
Let's bring them both together.
Let's bring everybody together.
We have athletics. We've got education. We have school buses.
We've got transportation. We've got it all.
And then, of course, there's always math.
There's always math.
And the question is an estimate. So whatever you say can be thought of as correct. But I want a decent rounded estimate about how many golf balls can be fit into an empty school bus. And empty meaning no chairs, no nothing, just a completely cleared out school bus.
All right. So a couple of questions.
Oh, no.
All right. So I think I'm overthinking this. I have a couple of answers.
Okay,
but,
good.
But I have a funny question first. So are the windows open or shut?
Oh, shut.
Okay.
Because how many can you put inside them?
Right.
And otherwise they start to pour out. There'll be infinitely many.
Now, I'm going to parse words because there's answer. There's one smart alecky answer where the answer is zero, Ed, because the bus is empty.
Oh, I like that answer.
But I'm parsing words because what my assumption is that you mean you will fill the empty school bus with
correct
balls. But if the school bus stays empty, then the answer is zero.
That's right. I said how many ping pong balls? I mean, how many golf balls can you fit inside of an empty school bus? The answer is zero. You know what? I will take that as the correct answer.
Okay.
But I love that. That's great. And it was my own stupidity for ad-libbing the empty because I didn't want you to think students, because I know you. And I thought, well, students are going to be in there and we're going to kind of
bury these
poor students in golf balls. And that's what I was trying. And I was saying, take out the chairs. I was trying to make it easier.
You did.
But your answer of zero is correct. Congratulations.
So that's one. That's a possible answer.
I like it. It's my favorite answer.
But as you recall, in the last episode, I said, I think it's a really big number. And we talked about sort of thinking about big versus small and then starting to put a quantity onto that quality. So I was going to say a million.
A million. So there's a good guess.
That's obviously on the upper end.
Ah, so you think that's too much?
No. Well, actually, I don't think it's too much. If anything, I think it may be a little underplaying.
So then why do you say it's on the upper end?
On the upper end of my other answer being zero.
I mean, you sort of got the
smart alecky. Zero answer. Then you've got the universe of large numbers, and this is in the universe of large numbers.
Well, for the record, I like the zero answer the best, including the answer that I'll share with you, too.
Okay.
But yours is the best. So the way to think about this is to just do a kind of a back of the envelope calculation.
Sure. What
a school bus is basically a rectangular prism, you know. And if you've ever driven behind a school bus, basically the back of it is basically square.
Yes.
So you've got a kind of a square and then a long rectangle kind of attached, you know, kind of make, you know, spanning a rectangle. So now what are the proportions? Well, very, very roughly, if you think about it, if you think about like the width of the bus, how many widths will make up a length? It's about four.
Yeah, that seems about right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you got a kind of a 4-to-1 thing here. So now if you knew how many ping pong balls you could run across the width, then you know the height would be the same and 4 times that would be the length.
And then you could just start doing some arithmetic.
And so as you were doing last week, you actually physically were holding an invisible golf ball.
Uh-huh.
And if you look at that, it's whatever that is, about an inch and plus a little bit. So how many of those would you need? Roughly 50 to go across. So therefore 50 to go up and then 4 times that, which would be 200 to go across. And so if you take 50 and multiply it by 50 and multiply it by 200, you get 500,000, which is 500,000.
Okay.
And so that's an estimate to how many.
I love that there's a way to actually figure that out. Because who hasn't been at a carnival or whatever, and they say, guess how many jelly beans are
exactly
in the thing? And people just write down random numbers.
No.
There's a way to actually
find the volume. We're figuring out the volume. But all that said, the answer of zero is my favorite. Congratulations. You have solved it.
I was a little smart alecky, but I thought I would give it a try.
I like it.
Okay. Well, Ed, as we wrap up our discussion about sort of the intersection of higher education and business, tell me this. I'm going to put you in a little role playing here as we wrap up.
Good.
You're walking into the headquarters of company XYZ, and they say, Dr. Berger, president of Southwestern University, we need students to come to us better prepared for the working world. We don't necessarily mean particular courses or classes, but what can you do to help students understand what it means to be in the working world versus be a student? What do you think students need to learn that doesn't have anything to do with the classroom, but just with working?
Many things, but the first one that comes to mind is that an appreciation of deep understanding. So when someone gives someone a task, give a five-year-old the test. They go, I know how to do it. And they really don't, but they're impatient and they want to kind of get into it. When that student is finishing up their formal education, wherever that may end, I'm hoping that that student will have a sense of deep understanding and to be able to acknowledge and articulate that which the person understands well and those things which the person is not quite understanding as deeply. To be able to explain that, to be able to acknowledge that, and to try to move all of those levels to a deeper level and constantly be trying to understand things in a richer way. That basically, I think, is a big thing to do anything.
Dr. Ed Berger, Guide to Doing Anything. We love it. Dr. Ed Berger is president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. You can find out more at southwestern.edu. And you can keep your brain busy by keeping up with the news and other episodes of Higher Ed at KUT.org. I'm Jennifer Staton, KUT News.